time for survival stuff with Indiana Jim. My name is James C. Jones, but for purposes of our little programs, we're going to call me Indiana Jim. And we're going to talk about survival stuff. And I represent the Live Free USA, which is at AmericanSurvivor.org. The organization was founded in 1968, which was the earliest survival organization around. We can sort of claim to be the founders of the survival movement. We generally call ourselves self-reliance practitioners and preparedness advocates. I'm not a bit fond of the prepper title or the survivalist title because it's been misused so often. So anyhow, we're going to talk about physical stuff today, basic stuff. Back in about 2009 or 10, we did an article in our newsletter, American Survivor, and you know, this is the magazine or the newsletter that our members get to Live Free USA, entitled Coat Pocket Survival. And basically we were starting what is now better known as everyday carry. And we talked about coat pocket survival. We said that there are certain things you should have in every coat pocket you have so that you at least have something rather than just empty pockets when you need them. So we're going to talk about coat pocket survival or everyday carry, if you will. We'll talk about the different kinds of items that you would want to have. Now, one of the things you've probably all heard about in the past is from our documents and from our publications is it's not what you have, it's what you have with you that counts. And the eighth principle of my 10 principles of survival, which we will present in some other programs, is have what you need. So it is what you have with you, not what you have at home or what you have in your vehicle or whatever. It's what you have immediately available, and that basically means what's in your pockets. Now, one of the things that most survival and preppers and preparedness advocates have to talk about is always carry a knife. Well, in most cases, you can carry a knife of some kind, and it is the basic, the one most basic item to always have with you. I have a few examples here. Back in the earlier days, those of you, the MacGyver fans, I was actually a fan of the original MacGyver. It was always have the Swiss Army knife. And the Swiss Army knife is still a good everyday carry or carry as often as you can legally item because it includes a lot of different tools. It primarily starts out being a knife, which is important. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's a good knife. And then you have all the different tools that go with it. And they come in a lot of different sizes that you can fit them in your pocket or you can have them in a nice little pouch like this. And I carried this for years and years and years. And I still highly recommend them. There's also, I have a collection of these, what they call survival cards, which is actually a knife. And then it has a magnet with it. It has a number of wrenches and cutting tools, a screwdriver in the corner. There's a number of this. I don't remember exactly what brand this is, but you can find these on the its survival suppliers and sometimes even in camping stores that call the survival card. It fits in your wallet. So for those occasions when you can't carry a knife in other ways, these are kind of handy. Now, of course, as far as knives are concerned, it depends on what you can get away with and, you know, what your occasion. I mean, you're going to go to a wedding or you're wearing a dress suit or something like that, then you probably can't carry one of these. Now, this is kind of one of my favorites. This one is actually from the NRA, but it's a survival ops gear, SOG, rescue knife. It's also got a cutter for cutting seat belts. And cordage, and has a safety on it. Very nice knife to carry around. If you want to go to Stealth Angel, they come up with some interesting products. I would recommend check out their website. They have a knife. It's very similar in a lot of ways to the special ops gear knife, but it also has a cord cutter. It has in the back has a window breaker, so you can, you know, if you're trapped in your car, you need to break that window to get out. It's got that. It has the a good solid blade to it. Closes a little different than the special ops gear knife, and it also has a small, tiny little flashlight built into it. Tiny little flashlight built into the knife. So it's sort of cool. I like it. Now, some of you may decide that you want to go with something different. More recently than the Swiss Army knife, you get to the multi-tool device. This is a very early multi-tool device. Again, I can go back 20 years and 30 years and get the earliest versions of almost everything in my collection. Nice multi-tool device. This is a somewhat smaller one. It basically, however, this particular one, the early ones, were basically a pair of pliers with a built-in knife. And the problem with that, and with another one that I'll show you in a minute here, is that, you know, if you look at it carefully, you can see that on the outside there's nothing you can get at. You have to open it first, and then you have to open it all the way to get at the knife blades inside. This one's got all kinds of screwdrivers. It's got a saw blade. It's got a file. It's got a wire cutter here. It's really a pretty nice piece of equipment, but it is primarily a pair of pliers and a tool. You can't get at the knife until you open it all up, which in an emergency or a situation or you're in a hurry, that can be a bit of a problem. What you really want is something like this. This is the Wave. Okay, this particular one. Yes, it does have the pliers, and it has some tools on the inside as well. But the main thing is that the knife can be deployed from the outside. So you basically, at any time you pull this out, you got a knife, because that's the main tool you're going to want to have, is the knife. There's other tools that you can get out of here too. Actually, there's a saw blade. This actually has 25 different functions, okay? That's called the Wave. And I believe that's Leatherman. Yeah, that's by Leatherman. So Leatherman is one of the main suppliers. They have 20 different versions of this. But I highly recommend this is the Wave. This is the one I carry. But generally, if you're going to carry something, you're going to carry this, and that's all you're carrying, you should get one. The blades deploy from the outside of it, so you don't have to open all this stuff out when you need. What you need is a knife, okay? Now, of course, sometimes you're going to be going someplace where you got to carry a little knife in your pocket or whatever. You can get all kinds of little knives for $5 or $10. This one was an NRA prize for a contribution I made. Nice little knife, fits in the pocket, so you do have a knife, okay? So always carry a knife. There's a number of options. You know, you can't go around with a big sheath knife on you all the time. Now, another item that I talk about, and this is definitely everyday carry on me, it's old-time stuff, okay? It's old-time stuff, is a bandana. And I wrote a whole article about bandanas. It was sort of funny because I got criticized a little bit about bandanas, and then I saw people later on when the COVID-19 epidemic hit using bandanas as a makeshift a respirator, and they are, you know, especially if you wet them down, they can be a pretty good respirator. This is sort of a nice one here. Yes, you can wear them as a respirator, but you can also fold up a couple more times, and you've got a decent bandage. Okay, you can also put these around. Put a knot in. I'm not going to show you how to do all that. It's another class for another time. But you can fashion this into an emergency blood stopping compress, or you can actually make a tourniquet out of it with another, with a stick or something, and twist it and make a tourniquet out of it. So it's got a number of different uses, including blowing your nose, of course. And yes, it will be not the greatest respirator in the world, but you're caught in a smoke-filled building or some other situation, you got this. It's also, by the way, if you really need to get somebody's attention, you got something you can wave, you know, to wave down a police or a fire department or wave for help versus, hi, okay? So, knife, bandana, pretty cool things to carry along. Well, before I get done with knives, I also want to mention, I almost forgot to mention, neck knives. So if you don't want to wear a knife and you don't have it in pocket, you don't want to have a knife on your belt, there's a number of different things, and you can look them up on the internet, do a Google, look at some of the sporting goods stores also have them. Neck knives, this is a fairly large one. Pretty nice little knife, and you got it on your neck, it's always handy, you're not going to lose it, and nobody's generally going to notice that you've got it on you in the first place. They also come in some smaller sizes. Like this one, it's a little knife, little blade, but you know, in an emergency, lots of times it's all you need to have. Now, being an EMT myself, and also working with the police, I got in a habit of carrying gloves, okay? So generally, I carry medical gloves, so latex blue medical gloves. Also, sometimes I carry the police evidence gloves, but again, it's something you're going to have in your pocket. Maybe you're going to render first aid. Maybe you're going to be in some kind of situation where, you know, you're dealing with some nasty stuff. Something to think about keeping in your pocket is either latex or police gloves. And along with that, by the way, one of our everyday carry, my original everyday carry, was hand sanitizer. Okay, how everybody's carrying hand sanitizer. I sort of laugh sometimes at stuff. I told people 20 years to do this, and they're like, oh, we're carrying hand sanitizer. It's alcohol, get the alcohol-based stuff, because it makes a good fire starter as well. It's also good for sanitizing your hands, all kinds of other things. It's good for just general clay cleaning. And as I mentioned before, you can actually put this stuff down in a little container, set fire to it, and you get a little stove going. Okay, so hand sanitizer. So the knife and the hand sanitizer and the bandana were sort of the original kinds of all everyday carry. Now, nowadays, people carry cell phones and they think they're the answer to everything. Well, they are. You can use them for a light. They're handy. You can call for help and all that. And obviously, you know, it's a good thing to have. You could have the little ones like these sometimes. Sometimes people still have those. Other times people will have the big smartphone. The thing I wanted to bring up about carrying a cell phone is if you're in a kidnap situation or a bank robbery situation or a street robbery situation or a carjacking, what do they do? What do they always do? Hand over your cell phone. Give me your cell phone, because they don't want you to be able to call the police. Even if they're driving away with your car and they got your cell phone, you, by the time you call police and tell them your license number and the color of your car and which direction it went, they are 10 miles away because they got your cell phone. If you're in a hostage situation or whatever, they're going to take your cell phone. You go into some area that's security thing, put your cell phone here. Now you're kind of helpless. But there's nothing, they never look at. Maybe you got two cell phones, okay? If you get one of these, if you got one of these around, laying around, you can get one of these small cell phones. The thing is, you don't have to have a service. It does have to be charged, but you don't have to have this hooked up to Sprint or AT&T or any other cell phone service. As long as you power it up, the battery's powered up, you can dial 911 on this thing, and it will get you to 911. Nothing else. But it will get you to 911. So, you get held up, whatever, hand over your cell phone. Okay, here's my cell phone. Okay, thank you, bye. Okay, as soon as they go, oh, 911. Hey, they just robbed me in the street. The guy is this description, and he went this way down the street, and blah, 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 and you're good. Or even better, if you can get away with it, you give them this one, which isn't hooked to anything, and you've still got your main $900 or $700 or $800 telephone with all your data and stuff in it, which is, so it's a, you know, that doesn't weigh a lot to have to carry that extra dummy or a decoy cell phone. Okay, another thing in the original concept of everyday carry was to have a lighter or something to light. In fact, really early on, we said, you know, just have a couple packs of matches and some paper towels in your pocket. Paper towels could also be used for a short-time respirator that can be used for a compress for stopping bleeding, a number of other things. And you can light them on fire if you got matches. You get a, you know, and yeah, yes, starting a fire is a primary survivalist kind of thing, okay? So we recommend, and this should be pretty much in every pocket because they don't cost much, is maybe a package of windproof matches, okay? If you want to, you can just carry a regular pack of matches. The only thing is if they get wet, then they won't be any good. Or you can carry, some people want to carry one of these spark devices where you can make sparks and build a fire with sparks. And, you know, so these fire sticks, magnesium fire sticks, as long as you got something to strike, you can get a spark going. But frankly, a flame always trumps a spark. And you get, well, I like these, you get them at gas stations, it's like a little blowtorch. See that? Yeah, you get one of these, or any other kind of Bic lighter, but check them once in a while because eventually the gas sort of leaks out of them and they die, but only over years and years. But have a lighter, a pack of matches, or some method of lighting a fire in every pocket, in every jacket. And I want to open this up in a minute. If you want to go high tech, this is actually a laser. I'll put that up that way you see it. It's a laser lighter. Okay, it just costs about $40. It's in my, I gotta have survival gadgets for different things, but you really don't need a gadget. You can just get this thing for, I don't know, $2, $3 or whatever. But it's better to have a cheap one in every pocket than an expensive one only in one pocket, and then you're out of luck if you need it. Another thing is a whistle. There's a lot of different kinds of whistles. To whistle for help. You can, you know, you're gonna have a whistle like this. Kids should always have these with them too. But that was another one of the primary coat pocket survival kind of things is a whistle. So you got your whistle and your hand sanitizer and your knife, those kind of things. Of course, your phone, method of lighting a fire, bandanas, okay. And then flashlights. Now I know that the cell phones can be used for flashlights. And if you always carry your cell phone with you everywhere you go, maybe good enough. Of course, we've all had the experience of your cell phone battery's dead. And there's tons of little flashlights out there. Little small flashlight. You should just have one in every pocket of every jacket you got. One, or not in every pocket of every jacket, but in one jacket of every pocket. They come a little bigger like this if you got room. It's also got a clip that can go on your belt. Depends on what you're wearing and where you're going, but some kind of flashlight. They even come these little free ones. You know, that anything is better than nothing. You can attract attention. If you really want to be self-reliant, and I live up where it gets cold in the winter and where I might be in a bad situation, I started throwing a little bit of candy, especially on Halloween. There's extra candy, and then there's other places, extra candy. I started putting Tootsie Rolls in all my pockets, in pockets of all my jackets. A couple of Tootsie Rolls. A little candy, a little energy, a little morale boost. Again, an empty pocket is useless. Something in your pocket is usually useful for something. I got into Tootsie Rolls because the Marines in the Chosun Reservoir in the Korean War, when they were trapped there, this was one of the only things that they could eat. There were Tootsie Rolls everywhere. They don't freeze. Well, they do freeze, but you put them mouth on the melt. They don't mess up in warm weather. They get soft, but they don't turn into goo. They last almost forever. They're just indestructible, okay? So that was my choice of in-pocket emergency Energy food was Tootsie Rolls. Pretty handy. All my cold weather jackets and my cold weather parkas and everything. I got 5 or 6 of these in every cold weather parka that I have. And of course, I have cold weather parkas. I have fire starting items in there for sure. Another thing that's probably something important to think about is carrying up a little bit of first aid items, which, you know, some Band-Aids maybe. Not a bad idea. Pain. You know, you suddenly you got a headache, or when you're under stress, or when bad things are happening, or you may have been injured because bad things happened. Any kind of pain medication might be helpful. So Tylenol or Advil would be a good, you know, good choices in these little packets that you can buy out of the machines. Buy 2 or 3 of those. And by the way, you know, they'll have expiration dates on them. All this stuff will have expiration dates on it. And you say, oh, it's 2 years old. I got to throw it away. Well, the medical industry basically lobbied Congress to establish that, and the different departments that regulate this stuff, to set a 2-year date. So they only test it for 2 years because they want you to throw it away after 2 years. They don't want to put a 10-year date on this. But actually, the Department of Defense did their own studies because they were throwing away everything, tons and thousands of tons of medical supplies every 2 years. And if they tested it, found out 5, even 10 years later, it was still pretty good stuff as long as it stayed sealed. So don't get freaked out that it's, you know, a 2-year expiration date. And of all the things, especially if you're over 50, I might be a little over 50, carry some aspirin, these little packages of aspirin. I also talk about it when I talk about what's in your bedside drawer. Aspirin, because when you take, aspirin's a blood thinner. And if you start to have the chest pains, or you think you're having a heart attack, unless you're allergic to it, of course, it's already having a heart attack, you're starting to have chest pains, and you're concerned, okay, first of all, you're going to use your cell phone, call 911, sit down, stay calm. Take 2, even as many as 4 aspirins. Just put them in your mouth, let them dissolve. If you don't have any water, gulp them down with a couple gaps of water, whatever. It will help thin your blood, help prevent blood clots, help facilitate your blood circulation, and therefore it may save your life. So this is something, of all the pocket items that you have, this might be the one that really saves your life the most quickly. Okay, so that's pocket items. Now, I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, and I don't mean in a real nice house in a real nice neighborhood. I mean in the hood, okay? I spent a lot of time there as a kid, through high school, and very recently, actually. So what am I going to carry for weapons? Well, for one thing, in Illinois, in where I used to live, you did catch on that I'm Indiana Jim, right? I moved, okay? So anyhow, but I used to carry different kinds of weapons. Now, of course, it was legal for me to have a handgun in Chicago. Strangely enough, when I moved to Indiana, somebody had stuck a couple of handguns in my equipment that I moved over here. I don't know where they came from. Anyhow, there's a whole different, you have different options to carry when you're on the street. Your knife, well, yeah, it's good. Knives are good. But of course, again, even Chicago, even that was illegal. But it takes, you got to get them out of your pocket. You got to open them up. You know, I mean, a bad guy ain't going to wait for that. You got to have stuff that you can reach real quick. Okay. Tactical pens. Okay. Okay. You can, now this is a pretty big tactical pen. You can look it up on the internet. You can look at survival suppliers. Tactical pens generally some of them are a little smaller. Their main thing is they're made of heavy duty steel. You could put them in your pocket, pull them out real quick. They actually are pens. They actually will write. Okay, it actually will write. Do you get this out? This is some serious pen, okay? But it's got the business end here is what you're going to use, you know, to the eye, you know, to bridge of the nose, the side of the head, the ear. I mean, this will do some serious damage to somebody if they're attacking you, much more serious than just using your hand. And they won't expect to see it coming either. So tactical pens is one option you've got. You've got, of course, the pepper spray, and this is the kind, actually our police department sells these for people for $6 a piece and they recommend them. Again, as long as the person isn't on drugs, as an EMT, I've seen some films where these guys that are drugged up, they pepper sprayed him 4 times, they tased him 2 or 3 times, and he's still fighting off 6 cops and winning. People don't understand this when they see this on TV. Oh, that poor guy, look what they did to him. If they're on drugs, they're stronger than anything I can imagine. But pepper spray may help you in an attack situation, an assault situation. It's certainly better than nothing. It's pretty good. It may be enough to send off an attacker. I highly recommend them. You can carry it in your purse, carry it in your pocket. I don't care, they're handy to carry and they're easy to get a hold of. Then there's the tasers. I don't know. Again, the tasers, you have to pull them out of some, container usually. They usually come with sometimes they have a flashlight included in them. This one is, it's got a safety on it. This one isn't even charged right now. So that's another thing, you got to keep them charged. You also got to get close to somebody with this thing. So you got to pretty well engage. If they got heavy clothing, it may not work. You really want to be able to use stuff that you're not going to have to get into a close situation with the perpetrator or the criminal. The pepper spray is helpful in that respect. Of course, the real answer to crime on the streets, if you are attacked on the street, or for that matter in your home or anywhere else, is the handgun. Okay. Now, this is a nice little Ruger handgun. It's a 380. It's a very lightweight, very small, almost fits in my hand. Perfect, fits in the pocket. Something like this, 380 caliber. I don't recommend anything smaller than 380. 38, 9mm, pretty much ideal for street defense. It costs, I think, around a $350, $400 range. It has a magazine, 6 shots, 6 rounds, and 1 in the chamber. Fairly safe. Something like this might be what you want to have when you're on the street. Now, you can usually carry this in your pocket. If you're going to carry something bigger, there's a number of options. They're making little pouches now that go on your belt, and they look like they might be a cell phone, or for an older guy like me, they might be some kind of medical device that's fitting on my belt. NRA, for one, and many others. I have a jacket, for instance, that has a built-in holster. And then on the other side, you can put an extra magazine. I always think, if you're going to need an extra couple of magazines besides your gun, you're really looking at getting in a bad situation. Usually if you got 6 or 8 rounds of ammo in your gun, that's probably going to get you there or you're in very serious trouble. But anyhow, I have a vest and a jacket and a couple of other things that actually has built-in, nice looking jacket, but also has a built-in gun holster in it. This is another option. This is a belt pouch, okay? And the belt pouch holds a 9mm Smith & Wesson. 9mm, considerably bigger than the 380, the little Ruger 380. This is a S&P shield. Fits right in the pouch like this. It can go either which way, depending on which way you wear it. You can wear this whole thing around your belt, around your waist. Zip it there, snap. There's the snap, the belt. And you can wear this. The nice thing I like about this, I can wear it with a t-shirt. If I go out, I don't even wear a t-shirt. Where am I gonna hide the gun? I don't hide it, I hide it in plain sight. I wear this, and people think, well, it's okay, it's a belt pouch. They ask me what's in it. I say, it's a medically necessary wireless handheld device, okay? Nobody's really gonna ask any more questions. It's got a couple little pouches also where I can keep some other, like a small knife, or some aspirins, other kinds of things that I might carry. So it's a really nice little pouch. So you really need some, if you're gonna carry weapons, you probably need to have a number of options or ways to carry them, and maybe options as the sizes. Finally, last but maybe not least, but still something to consider. We have what we call the get home pack, and I'm not going to go into all the stuff that's in here. That's for another day and another class, something else. The get home pack, and that is, you know, you're in your vehicle, you're at home, or not at home, but you're at work, you're at your job, you're at school. You got all your stuff at home. You got the big pack, your evacuation pack. You got your house all stocked up so you can stay in there for 6 months and not come out, all that kind of thing. You got the stuff that's in your pockets, hopefully, that's going to get you through that first short-term little tight situation. But maybe you need something more. So you have a get-home pack, which is in your desk drawer, in your locker or whatever. So the last item I want to talk about, which is really important item, it should be in your pockets all the time, is a respirator, okay? Okay, if you notice people escaping from the buildings that were coming down at 9/11, some of them were wearing N95 respirators because they had been through the previous bombing and there was all the dust and everything. And some of them had actually been smart enough to put an N95 or two in their desk. Because I remember seeing, I said, wow, some of the people that were N95s. Most of them weren't. Most of them were not prepared. By the way, this is a respirator certified by NIOSH. It's 95% effective against just about everything. Definitely not against poison gases and that kind of thing, but any kind of particulate or mists or vapors or germs of any kind, pathogens, this works. This is a mask. It's just a mask, okay? It's a piece of cloth, or maybe a double piece of cloth. It's definitely helpful. 65%, 75%, maybe effective. If worn carefully, it can be cleaned. It can be washed and worn again. It's a mask. The reason, another one is this is the surgical mask. Surgical mask has a little device to make it fit better to your nose and so on. It's a surgical mask that the doctors wear. It's meant to keep the doctor's vapors and germs and things from the doctor's breath from going into the patient while he's working on it, or onto the patient while he's working on them. It's really not meant to keep things out. It does to some extent. It's meant to keep things in more effectively. Does it work to some? Yeah, it's definitely helpful. It's better than nothing. But you'll notice, if you look at all the hospital films and all the medical workers, they are wearing this, not that. When sometimes they're wearing this because they don't have that, okay? You can also get them, in this is a century, survival century, N95, same certificate, same material, but it's flat. So you can put it in your pocket. Should I put this in my pocket? Yeah, this is pretty good. So yeah, if this fits in your pocket and it's more comfortable, go ahead, carry that. But carry something to protect your respiration, because if you're caught in that burning building, you're caught in that collapse, you're caught in that sudden terrorist attack, radioactive material floating around in the air, biological pathogens floating around in the air, poisonous dust floating around in the air, all those kind of things, the N95 will keep out of you, okay? So you want to have an N95 or some kind of mask, and you've also got this, but this is better than nothing, better than nothing, especially if you water it down, but it's only very temporary. This is all stuff just to temporarily get you out of situation. By the way, you can clean these too. What I would do is I used to hang them out during the epidemic. I would hang them out in the sun all day. Well, the UV rays would kill anything that was in there, and then sometimes we'd wash them. I had two boxes of N95s before everything started. I bought the last box at Menards in January. and by March, nobody could get any of them. The reason the government was telling you, didn't want to tell you about buying N95s is, frankly, they wanted to make sure that there were enough of them around for the medical professionals and emergency responders, and they knew that if they said, you got to have an N95, it's the only real good mask, everybody would buy them up and they wouldn't be able to get any for industrial use and medical use. By the way, if you don't believe they're good, the Chinese bought up not only every N95 that they had, made sure they stopped shipping them way back before the beginning of the year when the epidemic hit, and they also bought a lot of the ones they'd shipped over here and took them back. So they knew, and this is what you see everybody in China wearing. So I have a certificate in respiratory protection, by the way, and I train people in respiratory protection. So when I tell you that, you know, you should have, this is the kind of respirator you have, you can fold these flat, put them in a plastic bag, and carry it in your pocket. Definitely the best configuration. But if you can't get that, you can get a cloth mask, which is better than nothing. As a BTN, better than nothing. But if you can get the flat, full flat ones, they're ideal because you can put them right in your pocket, N95s, and you're protected. And there's also some masks out there. They're gray. They are charcoal impregnated. Now, these masks will not protect you against carbon monoxide. They will not protect you against poisonous chemicals. Say you're in a burning building and the furniture is burning and there's all kinds of, you know, bad chemicals that come out of that furniture, including cyanides. It won't protect you against that. It will protect you against soot and stuff that's going to make you cough. It's going to protect your respiratory system against some of the hot gases that can burn your lungs. It's not going to protect you if there's not enough oxygen in the room, but it will be considerably protection. There are some of these that come in a gray, and they actually have limited, the gray colors from activated charcoal, they have limited time chemical protection, so they'll protect you from some of those poisonous chemicals for a short time. They won't protect you against carbon monoxide though. So don't depend on these to walk around in a burning building, but they will help you get out of a burning building. So there's a lot of things to think about when you think about what you got in your pockets, in your jackets and so on, that makes you sort of a moving every day, ready for anything. At least I can get through a short-term situation. Kind of things to think about to put in your pockets. To tell you a little bit about our organization, again, we are advocates for education, educating and preparing families to survive disasters. Our motto is preparedness, self-reliance, and responsibility. We believe that self-reliant families are the foundation of a free and safe society. If you want to contact us, you can check out our website at americansurvivor.org. You're welcome to email me at survivorjj@aol.com. If you want to join Live Free, you can join online. It's $20 a year, $50 for 3 years. We do all kinds of great activities out there. We put on seminars, we put on camps. We obviously put a lot of stuff on our website. So with that, until next time, this is Indiana Jim for Life and Freedom, signing off.